on to our message for tonight. Now, I was thinking about the church family this past week, and I began to compare the church family, the church that we have here as the believers in Christ, to our personal families, our immediate families. I began to connect the family of God to the family of man and our relationships with one another. And I find that the family dynamic is absolutely key, because here's what I found. What affects one person can make a change that will affect their family. What affects a family affects communities. What affects communities, in turn, affects society. It all starts, though, it all starts with one individual given fully to the Lord. I want to talk to you today about a Christian home. And the title of tonight's message is The Blueprint of a Godly Home. Now, I'm hoping to reveal some things about the church family, which should be the foundation of families within the church. And two of the most difficult things in the world are, first of all, being a Christian. Though it's simple, it is simple to serve Christ, it is not easy. And these two things are very different terms. Simple and easy are two different things. The other thing, which is difficult, is being a parent. Those of you who are parents know that it does not come with an instruction book. There is no Google for what to do or how to handle a certain situation. Okay? Therefore, when you combine these things, it is incredibly difficult to be a Christian parent. Absolutely, one of the most difficult things. And it is even more difficult to have a truly Christian home. Now, and I would wager that if I ask every parent in this room, every person, no doubt, no matter who I'm in front of, no matter who the sermon was to, if I'm in front of a group of Christians and I ask them, is your home a Christian home? Undoubtedly, the vast majority would say, yes, we have a Christian home. However, what I found is that more often than not, it's not that the home is a Christian home so much as it is that they're being raised in a Christian culture. And there is a difference. There's a difference in there's a difference in immersing yourself in Christian culture and having a Christian home or a godly home. You see, going to Awana, going to church, being in the choir, going and being part of all these ministries, although these things are all good, going home and, watching Christian shows and all these things, that doesn't make your home a Christian home. Just because you listen to gospel music at the house and you have Christian TV on and these sort of things, that's all good, but it doesn't make your home a Christian home. So tonight we're going to be talking about a Christian home, and I'm glad to see those of you who are able to be with us, you parents, you fathers, you wives, you fathers, you husbands, fathers and husbands, mothers and wives. But my emphasis tonight is especially on you fathers, because the Bible makes clear the mandate that you are the religious leadership in your family. You are the one who it rests upon for the testimony of your house. Now, I want to share with you something that a man by the name of Clay Clarkson once said. He's a Christian author, and he has a very good quote that was accurate, and I'll quote him now. He says, "Christian activities and interests do not make a home Christian. A Christian home is never defined by what the children are doing. A Christian home is defined by what the parents are doing." End quote. Join me as we pray. Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord. We pray for the message. Father, I pray that you'd use me mightily, Lord, that you'd speak through me. Father, help me to speak clearly, Lord, to teach accurately your word. Father, I take seriously the call that you put upon my life, Lord. I take seriously the responsibility. Father, I pray that many would be blessed tonight, Lord, that homes, Lord, would be blessed by the word of God. Father, I pray that we'd all have ears that are open to hear and hearts that are open to receive your word. Father, let us take your word into our very being, Lord, that it would not come in and go quickly as we come in and out of the church. Father, let us not forget as we hit the blacktop. Lord, keep in our mind and in our hearts your word, that we would hide it within our hearts, that, Father, we'd be changed by it, that our homes would be changed by it, that our testimony would be seen by the change that it brings about in us, Lord, and that you would be glorified in our lives. Father, we pray for our church family, those that are here tonight and those that could not be. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them, that you'd comfort them. Lord, we pray for those people on the prayer list and many others whom we do not know of, but we know that you do, for you are a God who is of love and is intimately familiar with each and every one of us. Father, we pray that tonight you'd be well pleased, Lord, and that you'd be blessed and that you'd be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, every home, and the reason I call this a blueprint for a godly home is I've kind of built this message in a way that I use the terminology of building a home. We're going to use those sorts of terms as an illustration throughout this. Hopefully you'll be able to grasp what it is we're trying to get at. Every single home must have, first and foremost, a firm foundation. And tonight's message is one that is for, yes, the parents. It's for me and my wife as well as parents. It's for everyone. Everyone should be looking at this message and thinking about the words of God here, but especially you parents. I can't emphasize it enough. It's so important that we have a Christian home and not just Christians at church. The foundation is that upon which the home rests. It is that upon which everything is built upon. If the foundation is faulty, nothing is going to last. Nothing is going to stand. And folks, one of the reasons that this is so strong upon my heart, as you may know, as you've been observing, I'm sure, and I try to speak of it as often as I can to put those little plugs out there, we have a good youth group here, and we've been blessed to have that youth group growing and growing. And the youth that I'm meeting in the community and those that I'm spending time with, both at the elementary school, at Victory Baptist, where I often sub, and for those in the community as different outreaches, I'm very burdened. I'm very burdened for the youth of our nation and the youth of, honestly, Christian youth. And the reason for that is statistics tell us that at about a rate of about 60 to 70% of the average young man or woman who's raised in a Christian home goes to church, has a faith in Christ, saved, right? All this, as far as they know, mom and dad are doing everything that they can to be godly influences. At a rate of 60 to 70% of them, when they get out of their parents' home, they go off to college or they go off to the workforce, whatever the case may be, we like to point and say, well, it's because they go to college and they get these liberal professors. That's not the reason. Does that contribute? Absolutely. But that's not what it is. Because those who aren't going to college have an equally high rate of leaving the faith, leaving the church once they leave their parents' home. So the question we have to ask is, why? What is going on? Why is it that the testimony of faith in these families is being lost as soon as they leave the home of their parents? I believe it's because the foundation has been rocky. I believe that it's because of a Christian culture, immersing ourselves and trying to be the Christians that everyone thinks we ought to be, and we lose focus on that which is most important, and that's the foundation that we're building on. Luckily, the foundation has been laid. That foundation, folks, is Jesus Christ. Absolutely, unequivocally, Jesus Christ has to be the foundation of your home. Fathers, mothers, I'm looking at you. It's got to be. There has to be a strong emphasis of Christ in your house, in those walls, when no one else can see, no one else can hear. And yes, I know as a father, as a parent, as a husband, I know how crazy it can be inside the walls of your home, especially if you have those little kids. I know that not everything is always perfect. I understand. But there's got to be a firm foundation laid. I'll explain. Once the foundation's been laid, the building details can be found on a blueprint. That's how a building is done. You lay the foundation, and then everything from that point forward is following a set of instructions, which an architect who has a great mind, who knows exactly how this house ought to be built, has prepared for those that are going to do the work. The blueprints of a godly home are found in Jesus Christ. They are found in the Bible, in the Word of God. That is where you will find the blueprints. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, is the foundation, and the blueprints for your home should be founded upon Scripture. This is what is going to tell you how to govern your home, how to parent. All right. There was a book some years ago by a man named Dr. Spock on how to parent your children, right? Don't go to Dr. Spock for how to parent your kids. Go to the Bible. You want to learn how to have a godly home, how to be a Christian home, how to raise godly children, go to the Word of God. If you find your home lacking in these things, you can correct them while there's yet time. What Mr. Clarkson was trying to say is that, in the quote that I gave a little bit earlier, is that children can be in church every time the doors are open. They can sing in the choir, help in ministry, attend a Christian school, watch Christian programming, read every missionary biography. They can memorize the Bible. They can know every hymn in the book and still not live in a Christian home, or be a Christian for that matter. The testimony of your home is seen in your children, but it is developed by the parents. Note that. It is seen, the testimony of your home will be seen in your children, but it is developed by the parents. So let's talk about the steps to having a Christian home. Let's get into the Word of God a bit. First of all, laying the foundation is step one. Laying the foundation, right? We begin with that firm foundation upon which the home must be built, and that foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go down to verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, head down to verse 11. And it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, I won't ask you to go there. I'll just read it for you. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, expound on this. It says, there in chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, I want you to think on the words that we just read. Think on that for a minute. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple. In other words, if you want your family to be a temple holy unto the Lord, if you want to be a temple holy unto the Lord, if you want your children to be temples holy unto the Lord, then the cornerstone, the foundation upon which their life must rest, must be Jesus Christ, and it must be that upon which all things build. In other words, it must be seen, apparent, and in power in every aspect of their lives, not simply a knowledge that is not in use, to simply proclaim it, but not to live it, not to see it powerfully in action. It does no good to have knowledge which you do not use. Wisdom, which is wise advice or wisdom which is not used, is vanity. It is worthless to you. Christ must be the cornerstone upon which you build your home. Now, as I said, the most important part of your home is the foundation. If that foundation is weak, it will crumble and your home will fall. Now, your home may not fall in the way that we're talking here, which we're thinking of physically, but when we apply that to the things of the spiritual world, the things of the spirit, if your foundation that you build upon is crumbling, if it's weak, the building of your house, your home, the spirituality, the relationship with God in your home will crumble. And before long, you'll be looking back, you'll be looking around going, "Where did we go wrong? I don't know. We were so close to God back so many years ago. Yeah, I remember when we used to go to small groups. I remember when we used to get together with other people from the church and just have dinner with them, just to spend time. I remember when we used to gather for Bible studies and we used to go out Christmas caroling. I remember whenever we used to gather around as a family and have Bible time and the Word of God. I remember when we used to get out the prayer list and as a family we take a different letter of the alphabet or something and we pray for families. Ah, I remember when we were so close with God then. You know, now that I think about it, I haven't read my Bible in months and months. You might get to a place where you say, you know, I haven't prayed really and felt like God was hearing me in a long time. In fact, it seems that when I pray, it's like I'm just praying to the room and that there's nothing there. What changed? What changed? You don't want to get there. What happened? Faulty foundation, weak foundation. In Matthew, Christ speaks about building on the solid rock, which of course is Jesus Christ, as I've said many times. Like the physical house you live in, the spiritual strength of your home depends on its foundation. Again, Christ should be at the center of every aspect of the Christian home. Everything, to include your work. Yes, speaking of work, I am speaking about your home, even though you may not do your work at home. Your work and how you are at work, the work that you do, does impact your home. So everything from your work to the entertainment in your home, the way you discipline at home, the conversations that you have at home, how you handle your finances, and ever so much more. Everything should be built upon a biblical principle, upon Christ. It should be approached from a biblical standard. And all of these things are dependent upon the parent. Notice that. All of the things we're talking about are things which the parents are responsible for. And your children will learn from your example far more than they will from your words. Keep that in mind, parents. It does no good to know the truth, teach the truth, preach the truth, if you don't live it. They'll learn far more from what they see than they will from what they hear. Now, I want to share with you a couple of things. You might be wondering, how do you do this? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to head back there to the Old Testament there, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I'll read these for you here shortly. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eye, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates." So you may be wondering, what am I talking about? Why is he going on about this foundation? Everyone understands, I assume, that if you're a Christian, you must understand, of course, that Christ should be at the center of your life. But what does that look like when it's put into practical application in your home? It means, parents, you have an obligation, and especially you fathers, I can't emphasize enough, have an obligation to ensure that the Word of God is being taught to your children, and not by the church and the pastor, by you. You have an obligation to ensure that the doctrine and the teaching that they are receiving is accurate doctrine according to the Word of God. You have an obligation to ensure that the conversations around your home are of a godly nature and that you're speaking of the things of God. You're handing down the things of God. You are teaching the biblical principles. What are those principles that you should be teaching? The gospel of Christ, how to handle your finances in a godly manner, how to have a godly testimony. Whenever you discipline, are you disciplining in a godly manner? We'll get to it in a moment, the bringing it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll get there. The relationship between the husband and the wife, of course, is seen and viewed by the children, and it makes a testimony. That, too, is your obligation. A Christian home is built on Christ. Through and through, brick by brick, even the mortar. Step two, once you lay the foundation, step two, we speak now of building the walls. And this is vitally important in the age that we live in the day that we live in. It's always been important for the people of Christ. But today, I can tell you assuredly that it is far more important that we give attention to the walls of our home. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So here in Nehemiah, we see that he is placing his people behind and upon the high parts of the walls to protect them from the threats which may be coming against them. And notice that the people are armed upon those walls, which are set for protection, but they're also armed so that they can fight against the threats that come. In other words, it shows, one, that the walls are there to protect them, but two, that they have an obligation to act, to defend. There's an action that's required. The walls of your home are designed much like the walls of Jerusalem were designed, with protection in mind. And I'm not speaking merely of the physical walls of your home, though that is one understanding. The walls of your home are designed with protection in mind. Their purpose is to protect those within your house, your family, your children, you, in fact, from all manner of dangers, both natural dangers, such as the wind, sleet, snow, rain that may come against you, but also against unnatural, spiritual dangers. Things like evil men, the influences and the lusts of this world. Your home should be a haven, a sanctuary. Now, notice though that the walls were not sufficient of themselves, as Nehemiah clearly displays. He placed people to guard and to fight against it. Parents, that's you. You are the gatekeeper to the city that is your home. Mothers, fathers, you are the ones that decide what enters your house and what does not, what you will allow and what you will not. And it doesn't matter the age of your child. It doesn't matter what they're involved in or how busy they get. It is your responsibility, as it's my responsibility in my house, to protect them. And you will be accountable for the things that you allowed in your home, not only for them, but to God. That's what we're charged with, men. Mothers as well, but primarily men. That's yours. You're responsible. Why am I talking about this? Why is this so important? I can't tell you how many friends that I've had, myself being one of them as a young man, was in church every single time the doors were open. But if you would have seen me at home, there was nothing Christian about my home. There was nothing Christian about half the kids in my church that I hung out with on a daily basis. The things that they said, the video games that they played, the movies that they'd watched, the music that they listened to, the things that they were into, the things that they talked about. Why? No one was on the wall. Well, the walls were there. It was a Christian home. Walk in. You see scripture stuff on the walls, nice decoration. You see Bibles up on the shelves that look like they haven't been touched in a long time, but they're there, right? Oh, yeah, we got a Wanna Club tonight. Woo! Meanwhile, everyone's sitting around watching television that's absolutely inappropriate, or listening to music that's absolutely of the world or whatnot. And I'm not pointing out these things and saying, oh, well, this is sin and that's sin and you don't want to watch this, or I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we all know what is of the Lord and what is not. We know what God expects in our home. We know what He wouldn't. Every time that you or I as parents say, you know what, it's not that bad. It's not that big a deal. It's just a little bit or just the one thing, and then the rest of it's fine. Or, oh, this song's pretty good except for it's got this one thing. You're accountable for the one thing, too. You realize that. You're accountable. Everything that comes through the walls, you let it in. Now, here's the difficult thing about that, mothers and fathers. It's not popular, is it? It's not easy to be the one that always says no. It's not easy to be the one that's so restrictive. It's not easy to be the one who's unpopular with the kids that feel like, well, how come everyone else gets to do these things? Everyone else is not your responsibility. Everyone else you are not accountable for. And you know where it comes really difficult at? It's not just the influences of the world that are coming through those walls, they're coming through your door. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the pastor's kids, okay? If they're not a godly influence for your home, tell them, sorry, you can't come over. I don't care. You're accountable. I'm accountable. You understand that? Here's one of the things to think about, guys. It's also who we have that we spend our time with. It's not just what we allow in our home as far as influences, entertainment, music, all of these things, the way we dress, all of that. And I'm looking specifically at the parents here concerning kids again. It's also who they spend their time with, their friends. What good is it to know that your children, those who you're accountable for, your home, are willingly being placed into a situation, into the influences of the world? Something to think about. Something to think about. I want to share with you here. If you think that your family is safe from the world because you're Christians or because you go to church, because you have Bible study, or because you live in a good community, you're wrong. The dangers of the world do get into homes, into good homes. And by and large, we let them in. And most of the time, they, like anything sinful, doesn't seem that big a deal at first. It seems very minor. But oh, when the years have passed and we see the implications, we see the effect of those things that we've allowed, and we realize that what was a little thing has grown and grown, and now the testimony is done and our time is done. By and large, you have, and this is something that I may have shared with the church once before, you have a set number of years with your children, parents, in your house, where you are in charge, where you're responsible. Those of you who have children that are over 18 and your children still living with you, guess what? If they're in your home, you're still responsible. Their age doesn't change the fact that that's your house and that's your family. But by and large, we usually don't get very much longer than that. Sometime around 18 years old, for the most of us here in America, is kind of the way it works. They're going to grow up. They're going to go off and do their own thing. They're going to go into the workforce. They're going to go off to college. They're going to go off and start their own lives. At 18 years, your opportunity, by and large, not totally, there's always those ties, but your opportunity for a day in, day out testimony to your children to set this faith and to build the home is done at 18 years. My father, when Jasmine, who's now 12, going to be 13 soon, Lord help me, she's going to be 13 soon. When she turned 9 years old, on her 9th birthday, my father gave me some wisdom by saying something to me that I didn't understand when he first said it. It took a little while, and I mean weeks, before it clicked. He was telling me that I was a bad father. And that was hard to take. I was a military man, didn't spend much time at home, wasn't much of the father that I wanted to be. And my father said something to me. Here's what he said. Listen to this. This is a true statement. This came from my own father. And I'm glad he said it because it was in love. He said, Josh, I want you to take a look at Jasmine. She's 9 years old. He says, how does it feel? I had no idea what he was talking about. Not a clue. And I said, she made it to 9. If she behaves, she'll make it to 10. And he goes, no, no, no. How does it feel? And I didn't get it. And that's all he said to me. That's it. He didn't go on any further. I thought about that for probably a week, 2, maybe 3 weeks. I called him up one day. I couldn't stop thinking about it because it was one of those things where, you know, you talk to people you love often, but you know when they've said something to you that has meaning. You know when they're trying to tell you something. I knew my dad was trying to tell me something, so I called him up and I said, Dad, what were you talking about? I have no clue. And he goes, okay. He goes, think about this, son. She's 9 years old. I want you to think about this. 50% of all the time that you have to make her the person that she's called to be, to show her a godly influence, to have a testimony in her life, to mold her, to bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 50%, half of it is gone, Josh. What have you done with it? And what will you do with what's left? That shook me, because I knew that the point he was making is that I could have been a far better father in God's eyes than I was. And it made me think about the man that I was going to be for my children. And I share this with you in hopes that you'll think about this, mothers and fathers. Look around at your children. Think how old they are. How much time do you have left? Make it count. Build the walls and stand on them. A couple of things for you here. I want you to remember Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What we see and hear has an impact of how we think, how we act, and in a nutshell, it affects our hearts. Believe it. It affects our hearts. Walls cannot protect your family from the world if you are letting the world in through the front door. Everything in your home should be focused on God, who commanded, "Be holy, for I am holy." Television, music, conversation, and yes, even the people you call friends should be weighed by Christ's standards. That doesn't mean that you separate yourself from the world and join a convent, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm simply saying is, think about these things. All right? Think about these things. Ask yourself, is this the sort of entertainment that Almighty God would approve of? Are your friends or your children's friends godly influences or worldly influences? And just because they go to church, as I said, doesn't mean a thing, though it should. The walls of your home are useless to keep things out if you do not man the walls and say, as Gandalf once said, "You shall not pass." A little Tolkien reference there. So the first thing is laying the foundation. The second is building the walls. And the third thing is speaking of inside the home. So once you have your home built, right, you've laid the foundation, you've built the walls, the construction's done, now you fill it with things. We're going to talk about inside the home. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Important. Very important. That word nurture, it means, if you look up the dictionary, it means to feed and to care for. Whereas admonish means to warn strongly, in fact. Now, when we place these two things together, it tells us that our home should be filled with instruction, or the feeding, you're feeding them, right? Such as just as Peter was to feed the sheep, you are filled with the instruction in the ways of God and warnings against sin and disobedience to God. That is how you are to bring your children up, verbatim from the Word of God. It should be a staple. Now, remember, as I said, that it is by your example in the home that makes the home a Christian home, not the culture that you submerge yourself in. Here's a couple of things that you can think about, all right? A couple of things that may be of help to you, and really you just need to get with the Lord and pray about it and think about how it is you're going to raise your children, what the rules are going to be in your home, and have dedication and commitment to being a godly home, a godly family. Again, it is simple, but it is not easy. A couple of things that may be of a blessing to you. First of all, some things you can do. You can place Bibles. Place Bibles in prominent places of your home and actually read them. Take them off the shelf, put them at the entranceways, put them on the counter in wherever you're going to be cooking at, or maybe put a Bible on the coffee table in the front room where you spend your time. It's irrelevant where you put them, but have the Word of God readily available for your family and read it. Read it together. Make it clear that it's important to you and important that they read it. Take it serious. Make sure that they take it serious. Make it a precedent, because believe me, if they see that it's important to you, it will make an impact on their lives. if it's something that you rush through as if it's a must do rather than a get to, as soon as they can stop, they will. Second thing, now this is important. Study and memorize Scripture in your home. Study and memorize Scripture. Don't leave it on Sunday school class. Don't leave it on the pastor. Don't leave it on summer camp or Bible camp in the summers. As a family, study and memorize Scripture. Why? Because in their lives, they are going to need the power of Christ. Things are going to come against them. They're going to come against you and your family. It is no good. It is no good to say that you lean on Christ's strength if you don't know any of the things he said, if you don't have the Scriptures to lean on. When Christ was in the desert and tempted of the devil, he didn't pull out a scroll, okay? Now, yes, he's God, so he knows his word. The point I'm making is it was with Scripture that he fought against the temptations. It was with Scripture that he pointed out the sin in men. It was with Scripture that he called people to him. Scripture, folks, that's what God uses. That's what we need in our lives. This book has no power as a paperweight. It has no power as a dust collector. It has the power to change your destiny and your life if you will read it. Put down Harry Potter, pick up the Bible. Next thing. One of the most important aspects of a Christian home concerns the discussions that take place there. The discussions that take place. Talk openly with your family especially, but with everyone that comes into your home. The fact that you are a Christian, happy to be a Christian, and excited about Christ should not be something which is hidden from the world, that as soon as someone walks in who you don't know is a Christian or not, all of a sudden it's hushed voices on that topic. Okay? Don't become like so many places in the world where don't talk about sports, religion, or politics. No, you talk about God. Sit down with your children. Talk about the Lord. Pass these things down from generation to generation, the testimony that you've been given. Talk about them with the friends and family that come over to visit you. People that come into your home, give them the gospel of Christ. Make it apparent in your life so that your children will see, wow, mom and dad doesn't even know this guy that knocked on the door. Within 3 minutes, dad has found some kind of way to jump into Scripture. Man, dad's kooky. Or, you know, we're in the shopping mall going through the register. Oh, there goes mom again giving out them Bible tracts to the cashier. It makes an impression. It makes it clear that this is real, this is important, this is serious. If they only see it in church, then what it tells your family is that, well, it's really not a big deal. I only do it on Sunday and only when other people who expect me to do it are doing it. Should be a constant in your home. It should come straight out of your heart. You should feel a desire to. We see, we talk about everything at home, don't we? Don't we talk about everything? We talk about entertainment, what's on TV. We talk about our favorite sports teams. We talk about what's going on in the government. We talk about the latest music, gizmos and gadgets. We talk about our clothes. We talk about what we're going to do on the weekend. We talk about what's going on at work, what kind of things we're working on. We talk about what we got coming up. Shouldn't we talk even more so about the one thing that's the most important in our entire lives? Jesus Christ? Shouldn't that be the topic of our conversation more than anything else? At least as much. Above all else, consistency, folks. Consistency. That is the key concerning what happens inside of your home. I'm guilty. I'll go ahead and put myself out there. I'm guilty at not being as consistent as I'd like to be sometimes. I think we all are. I think we all have those times when we're like, you know what? Kind of dropped the ball on that one. Or, oh, I missed that. But consistency is key. Yes, you're going to miss things. You're going to mess things up. But consistency will show the importance. I want to give you a well-known verse from my favorite book of the Bible. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Parents, fathers, that is the statement that you need to be making, not just with your mouth, but with your life, day in and day out. That needs to be what's seen if you want to have a Christian home. In Joshua's day, the people were chasing after other gods, false gods, and idols, but we do the same thing today. We start out meaning well, but soon we let down the walls and the world gets in. We begin to focus on ourselves. We begin to focus on the world, on our own lives. We get busy and we forget, or we become complacent, become slothful. We begin to value what people think of us, try to keep up with the Joneses. We take our focus off of Christ. Soon we're skipping church. We're neglecting to pray. We're neglecting to read the Bible. We cease to have a Christian home. Our television plays films which are inappropriate, full of foul language and the like. Our children listen to music filled with sensual messages or celebrating alcohol and partying. If you're committed to serving God, to having a Christian home, and to having a testimony, then you must choose once and for all who is God in your life and whether or not you will serve Him with your life. Now, as I said, this message is titled The Blueprints of a Godly Home, and rightly so. If you want to have a Christian home and not just a Christian culture, then your foundation, of course, must be Jesus Christ. You must ensure that there are walls that keep out the world, that keep out sin. And you must man those walls to ensure that they hold. For the devil is like a roaring lion, traveling back and forth, seeking that which he might devour. He would love to get within the walls of your home and break down your testimony, scatter your faith, and shake your world. Don't let him in. Now, if the message this evening has caused you to think about your family, I hope that it has. It's something that I think about all the time. I think about my family. I think about your families. Fathers, mothers, I hope you are wandering and thinking and evaluating and examining right now your testimony in your home. I hope that you're thinking about the walls of your home, both physical but spiritual walls. Evaluate them. Shore them up that they're safe, that they're sound, for the day of hardship is coming. Prepare them. Remember, the time you have with them is short. The first step, though, in any of this, step one, what was step one? Laying the foundation. If you this evening do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you don't have a foundation to begin building on. You haven't met step one. There's no hope of a Christian home unless you have Christ as the cornerstone. If you don't know tonight that you're saved, that you are a child of God, if you don't know that there's a relationship or you don't truly have a relationship with God, but you desire to, if you've been quickened by the Spirit tonight, if you have a desire to bring the Lord into your life, to make Him the Lord of your life, to trust in His promises, to save you, to forgive you and wash you of sin by His blood, then in a moment the congregation is going to sing. And as the congregation sings, I invite you to come.